Oh, this is Pastor Landis Fisher once again coming to you with another edition of Teaching Bible Radio. As we said on the last broadcast, these next several broadcasts are being financed directly from heaven. Saint had went on to be with the Lord and had left funds on hand to make it possible for this broadcast to come to you. And they left the funds with a family member who was trustworthy to turn them over to our ministry in order that this broadcast of the gospel of Jesus Christ might be heard. And the saint who left the funds is in heaven with the Lord. And so we wanted to report to you that this broadcast is being financed from heaven itself. And so we just want to let you know. Be in touch with us. We'd like to hear from you out there who listen to the broadcast. It's very crucial as we have passed over the halfway mark in our year that we began to hear from some of you in some of the cities where Teaching Bible Radio is broadcast, because we do believe in basically taking care of the broadcast with those listeners who make it possible to make the donations in order that we might be able to be on the air and continue our outreach into your community and many others. So give us a call at 1-877-35-BIBLE. That's 1-877-352-4253, and we'd be very happy to hear from you. Just let us know the call letters of this station where you hear Teaching Bible Radio, and we're going to continue our lesson today. Of course, you can email us if you like at radio@teachingbible.org. That's radio@teachingbible.org. And drop us a line, or you can make a donation online at our secure website by using PayPal at teachingbible.org. And we'd be very, very blessed to hear from some of you. We hope you'll take the time and let us know that you are benefiting from our broadcast that comes to you on this channel each week at this time. And so we're thankful to God for every one of you who listen. We're going to continue our series of messages in honor of the saint that was willing to make it possible for us to have the funds to continue this broadcast, even from heaven, and we're so thankful about that, and we're blessed. So we want to call your attention today to another lesson that is an excerpt from a message that you can hear in its entirety online at our website at teachingbible.org. Remember, all our resources there are absolutely free. So we're greatly dependent upon your donations to keep these broadcasts coming to you every day. So we hope you will enjoy this particular edition of Teaching Bible Radio. Pastor Landis Fisher, Straight Gate Ministries, St. Louis.
This is Teaching Bible Radio.
Welcome to Teaching Bible Radio, the radio ministry of Straight Gate Ministries, St. Louis, Missouri. Featuring pastor teacher Landis Fisher, exploring your world through the Word of God. Let's join our teacher for another thought-provoking adventure from the Bible, which is available in its entirety online at teachingbible.org. Here's our teacher, Pastor Fisher.
Last week. And so in 42 generations from the time God called Abraham up until the time of Jesus Christ, God had developed the people of Israel into a great nation. They became one of the greatest nations on the earth during that time period. That's what we have in the Old Testament from Genesis 12 all the way up until the time that Israel peaked. And then they began to disintegrate. The next thing you know, they were scattered to the four winds, and that was judgment from God, because they did the same thing that we're talking about. They turned away from the true God and began to walk after false gods after God had separated them for himself. And that's what the whole Old Testament is about, pretty much. But God had a plan that was working within the people of Israel that he promised, and he planned to keep every promise that he made through Abraham. He said in his seed all the families of the earth would be blessed. And then Matthew chapter 1, just to give you a summary before we get back into 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says in verse 17, all the generations from Abraham to King David were 14 generations. So it took God 14 generations to take Abram from a single man up to a whole nation of people led by King David, which was called the United Kingdom during the reign of David, and also Solomon, who reigned about 30 years of peace in Israel. You see, and Israel became, by the time Solomon was the king, David's son, Israel was with the greatest kingdom in the world. The queen of Sheba came up to see the kingdom of Solomon. Remember that? You read about it? It was so glorious and magnificent. It was heard of all around the world. And so basically, but what happened, the Matthew 1:17 says, from Abraham to King David were 14 generations. From King David to the deportation into Babylon were 14 generations. It only took 28 generations and Israel was deported into Babylon. You see that? And then from that time into the birth of Christ were 14 generations. So God's plan was to bring forth Christ out of the people of Israel, the Messiah, the Son of God. And that was the seed that he promised all the way at the beginning when he promised Abraham, in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, see, hear that promise. He said, in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. See that? He wasn't planning on blessing only Israel, but all the families of the earth. God was planning salvation for every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people. And he knew that in order for me to do this, I need to separate a people for my own possession and give them my word, which he did. And one of the great things that he did through Israel was to give us the Bible, the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, as we call it. And to give us the people of God who led all the way up to the Messiah, his son. And it was in Jesus Christ that all the promises of God were fulfilled. And so but his plan was to come to him, that when he came, he would be rejected, spit up on, and crucified before it was all done. And it was all written down in the word, exactly what would happen by the time Messiah came. And so even right now today, there's a spiritual mystery going on in the world. We talked about that a little bit last week, too. Romans 11:25, the Apostle Paul says that I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, that about what's going on with Israel, because it seems strange that he came to his own people and they don't even receive him, not even today. And that all that turmoil is still going on in the Middle East right now, and Israel is now back in the land after they had been dispossessed after AD 70 when the Romans came in and destroyed the temple and scattered Israel to the four winds. Again, they had been deported into Babylon before. They had been under the Medes and the Persians. They had been under Alexander the Great. They had been under many empires. They were back in the land at the time Christ was born. And when they rejected Messiah in 70 AD, they were scattered to the four winds. And they didn't return until about 50 years ago, in 1948. You see what I'm saying? Actually, that might be 60 years. You see what I'm saying? And so all of this history around the Jews is in the scriptures. And that to me is very fascinating because they're not going anywhere. God already said he's going to keep them there and they're going to become the point of opposition to the whole world before it's all done. And we talked about that just briefly last week. So I had to kind of recap that because some of you may not have been here. And so all the tension that we see in the Middle East right now surrounds Israel. But yet God is working with the Gentiles right now. That's the rest of what it says in the book of Romans chapter 11. It says that I don't want you to be ignorant of this mystery that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. See, so God now has opened the door for the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? Anyone who is not a Jew. You see that? That's me and you. And the gospel is to everybody. No matter who you are, whosoever will, Jesus said, let them come. Whoever will come and respond to the gift of salvation, God will give you free salvation on the basis of your faith in Jesus Christ. And you may ask the question, do I need it? Yes, you do. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us has missed the mark, but God has fulfilled satisfaction for himself in Jesus Christ. He allowed him to be crucified for me and you in order to pay the debt that we owe him for our sins, which are many. Every one of us, and not only us in this room, as I always say, the whole world is guilty in the sight of God and cannot be cleansed of their sin apart from the blood of Jesus Christ. And so that's the purpose for which God allowed Jesus to be crucified. Now, when we look here in 1 Corinthians, just to bring our thoughts back into the text that we looked at, Paul says, when I came to you, talking to these pagans in Corinth, these are people who were not bought up in the word of God. They were not Jews by birth. They were Gentiles by birth, born outside the covenant people. He says, I did not come to you with excellence of speech or of wisdom. I didn't try to persuade you with a fancy story or oratory the way I presented my message. A lot of people do that in the church today. It's amazing to me. He said, I didn't come to you that way, but I came to you declaring the testimony of God. And he says, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. The gospel centers on the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was crucified so that evil sinners like me could be washed of their sin. By faith, those who trust in him and believe in him by faith are cleansed and forgiven of their sin. That's the gospel. It's about him. It's not about me. It's not about the church. It's not about how fancy of a building we can build and how many different kinds of things we can own and possess. In fact, Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures here on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. You know, he says, but rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and thieves do not break through nor steal. See, so there's a difference between having your treasure in heaven and having your treasure on earth. A lot of people are confused about that. And you got people preaching prosperity, health, wealth, and prosperity. Well, you know, it's okay to be healthy. It's a great thing. It's a great thing to be wealthy if you can be, but you need to have your priorities right. It's a better thing to know that you're doing things according to God's will and his word and for his kingdom. So Paul says, I determine to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. You know what? When you preach the gospel in those days and tell people that the Ashtaroth or Diana, the Ephesians, or any of those kind of false gods cannot save you, they were subject to cut your head off. It's kind of like that in the Middle East today. We have it pretty easy over here in America compared to some places in the world that I've heard about. You know, but he said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. See that? He said the power is in the message itself, that God gave his son to die for you in order that he might cleanse you from your sin and give you the free gift of salvation. That's where the power is. It's in the message itself, not in the preacher, not in the church, not in his methods or his method of delivery, but in the message itself. You see that? And the reason is, verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You and I need to know that we can trust in God, that God has done everything that we need to make us clean. There's no person on earth that we need to necessarily look to. We don't ignore one another. Jesus said that on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, that you love God above all things. Love God first, but also love your neighbor as yourself. You see that? And on these two hang all the law and the prophets. He said, if we can do those two things, we don't have to worry about are we keeping the law of God. The fact is, you will. If you love God supremely above all things and love your neighbor as yourself, you don't have to worry about knowing whether you even know what the Ten Commandments are. Because if you love somebody, you won't steal from them. If you love them, you won't kill them or murder them. You see what I'm saying? If you love them, you won't lie to them. All these kind of things are covered by love itself. That's why Romans 13:8 says, owe no man anything but to love one another, and he who loves has fulfilled the whole law. Because love is the bottom line. You know what? That's a hard thing for us to do. Really it is, if you think about it. In fact, it's impossible. The only way you can love people the way God says is you have to allow the Spirit of God to teach you how to do it. We like to carry grudges and come so far, but we won't go any farther. We stop right here at this particular point in terms of loving each other and caring for one another. And so these are the things Jesus taught and also the things that the apostles taught. So he said, I don't want your faith to be built up in the wisdom of men or human wisdom, but I want it to be resting on the power and the wisdom of God. Now he says in verse 6,
Teaching Bible Radio is listener-funded radio. Write us at P.O. Box 10123, St. Louis, Missouri 63145. Call us toll-free 1-877-35-BIBLE. That's 1-877-352-4253. Or visit us online at teachingbible.org, a ministry of Straight Gate Ministries, St. Louis, Missouri.